We can look at these crowns and see, will they make a nice knick-knack, you know, on our dresser? You know, we can think about various things that we could do with these crowns. But here we see these 24 elders, and they have these crowns on their head. And they didn't have to wonder about what to do with these crowns, because there was a time in heaven when they saw the Lord on the throne, and it was just their natural response, because they were thankful, because they had salvation, because God had saved them, because God had taken them through, that their natural response was just to take the crown off of their head and bow down before the throne and lay it before our Lord.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us for the first half of Going for the Gold in Eternity, Part 2. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Going for the Gold in Eternity, Part 2.
I'm going to ask that you would stand this morning for the reading of God's word. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold, going for the gold. The 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne, and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which were the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of thy kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made unto us our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessings. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth on the throne, and unto him said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever. May God add a blessing to the reading of his word. Father, amen. We thank you for this opportunity to come and to go for the gold for this last time. Lord, as we prepare, starting next Sunday, we'll be dealing with Advent. And so, Lord, let us finish out this series, Going for the Gold, and enter into next week, Going for the Advent. And so, Lord, we thank you for your word, and we ask that you would allow us to dive deeply into it this morning. And we invite the congregation to come and dine. The master's calling, come and dine. You can feast at Jesus' table anytime. He who fed the multitudes and turned the water into wine, come and dine. The master's calling, come and dine. Feed us, Lord, at your table, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. So we started last week, thank you, you may be seated, going for the gold as far as eternity is concerned. Going for the gold in eternity. And last week, we looked at this golden city called the New Jerusalem. And we said that that should be the goal of every believer to yearn and to look for that city that's made of pure gold. And so in that sense, we are going for the gold in eternity. This week, we want to look at the 24 elders and how that they cast down their golden crowns. And so when we get to that place, when we get to that golden city, we want to have golden crowns that we can cast at our Lord's feet. And so I kind of want to combine going for the gold this week with a Thanksgiving message and take the two together and talk to you on this. When you are truly thankful, you can't hold it in. When you are truly thankful, you can't hold it in. Here we see these 24 elders, and they have golden crowns. And you know, we can look at these golden crowns and ask, you know, should we use them as frisbees to throw around? We can look at these crowns and see, will they make a nice knick-knack, you know, on our dresser? You know, we can think about various things that we could do with these crowns. But here we see these 24 elders, and they have these crowns on their head. And they didn't have to wonder about what to do with these crowns, because there was a time in heaven when they saw the Lord on the throne, and it was just their natural response, because they were thankful, because they had salvation, because God had saved them, because God had taken them through, that their natural response was just to take the crown off of their head and bow down before the throne and lay it before our Lord. When you are thankful, you ought to show it. Now again, I've been at this thing long enough to know that we have all types of worshipers, right? You know, we got worshipers that will stand up and raise their hand and shout. You know, we have people that will just sit in their seat and worship by saying amen. And then we have other people that will not say anything, and they will just sit there, and they are worshiping just as much as that person that's standing up shouting. So what I'm saying today is, if there's thankfulness in your heart, it ought to be expressed some kind of way. Even if it's just bowing, and in your heart you become so filled and you become so thankful that in your quietness, in your silence, that there is all kind of stuff going on inside of you. That when you are thankful, that it ought to come out some kind of way. And so that's what we are going to look at today with these 24 elders. And we see that, you know, being thankful. You know, I've shared my testimony many times here about the time that I almost drowned. And, you know, I was with my friends, and we went to the Y to go swimming. And all my friends knew how to swim. And, you know, I could tread water, but I didn't know how to swim. And so they were out there in the 8 and 9 feet. And I wanted to, you know, be up out there with them. And so they said, Glaze, man, just, you know, and they got now, you know, I'm about 2 times bigger than all my friends were, right? And they said, Glaze, just go ahead and jump in, and, you know, we'll kind of hold you up and help you. Well, that's where the problem started. Because I didn't jump in. And I think that if I'd have jumped in, the results probably would have been the same. But I did one of those Mark spits, and I dove in head first, right? And, you know, when you hit the water, I don't know if anybody's ever had this experience before, that when you hit the water, it's all right. The thing that causes you to start to panic is when your feet don't touch the bottom. And I didn't feel my feet touching the bottom, and, man, I freaked. And I was just starting to fight in the water, and my friends, you know, they couldn't do anything. And honestly, you know, people say that I saw my whole life flash before me. I was about maybe 14 years old, and I did see my whole life. I mean, I just saw, I said, this is it, man. This is over. And my friends, you know, I could see them out of the blurry water. They were getting those long sticks off to the side, and they were trying to get it out there, and I just couldn't get it. But one of my friends, his older brother, happened to be there. And he waited until I got all the fight out of me. And he came over and he grabbed me and he swam to the side and they lifted me up and they started pumping water out of me. And I was just laying there on the side. And I'll never forget his name. His name was Charles Davis. And you know what? Every time I saw him, I thanked him for saving my life. Every time I saw him, that there was such gratitude in my spirit because I knew I wouldn't be alive if it wasn't for him. And he passed away a couple of years ago, and I had the opportunity to go to his funeral and speak some words. And when I spoke words, the one thing that I was just overwhelmed with thanksgiving, knowing that he had did something that caused me to continue to be here on this earth. And I was just so thankful even as I was telling that testimony about how he saved me. And his brother, who was a good friend of mine, afterwards he came up and he said, Glaze, he said, I don't know why, but I knew that you were going to tell that story. And you know what? When somebody has done something for you and you are thankful, man, you ought to let it be known. How can we not have thanksgiving in our heart for God? Somebody that takes care of you from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, and he don't hear from you all day. He don't hear anything about thank you. I heard E.V. Hill say one time, even on the bus, you know, when you're going to work, there ought to be somebody in the back of the bus that say the Lord is good. And somebody in the middle of the bus said, oh, yes, he is. And somebody up at the front of the bus said, let's praise him. That, there, you know, God is good. And that, you know, he takes care of us. He watches over us. And here are these 24 elders with these golden crowns. And they're going to say something a little bit later. But right now, all they could do out of thanksgiving, out of worship, out of adoration, out of praise, the only thing that they could do was take those crowns off and lay them. Praise, going for the gold. When I get to heaven, I want to have a gold crown so I can lay it in front of the glassy sea and worship the Lord with a thankful heart. You often wonder, who do unsaved people thank? There was an atheist, and she woke up one morning, and it was a beautiful day. And she said, oh, I'm so thankful. What a beautiful day it is. Who was she thanking? Was she thanking Mother Nature? Was she thanking her lucky stars? Instead of thanking Mother Nature, I'm going to thank the one who controls nature. Instead of thanking my lucky stars, I'm going to try to thank the one who controls the stars. You know, we oftentimes try to take God out of our thanksgiving. There was a little boy, and they wanted him to pray a politically correct prayer. And so he came, and he prayed a politically correct prayer. He said, I come to you know where to thank you know who for you know what. And we're trying to take God out of it. But as we approach this Thursday, as we approach this Thanksgiving, let us realize that we know the one who we are coming to give thanks to. That those ones around, those 24 elders around the glassy sea, that they knew exactly who they were giving thanks to. You know, and I find that, you know, we don't have a problem getting certain things that are inside of us out, right? If we got a complaint, we sure do know how to get that out. We know how to get our complaints out. But what about that thanksgiving that's down in your heart? There was a group of monks that were in a monastery, and they took a vow of silence, and they could only speak two words once a year. And so the first year, one of the monks came in. This was his first year there, and he said, "Hard beds." Another year went by, and they came together, and he said two more words, "Terrible food." The third year they came, he said, "I quit." And the other monks that were there said, "Well, I'm glad he quit, because all he ever did was complain." And so we know how to get the complaints out, but do we know how to get the thanks out? Who are these 24 elders? Let me give you some viewpoints as to who people say these 24 elders are. Some say they represent the church, especially because of the song that they sing in Revelation 5, 9, and 10. So some people, since they say that they're redeemed, that these 24 elders are the redeemed. Last week we looked at the golden city, and we see that in the wall there were the names of the 12 apostles and the 12 patriarchs. And so some people believe that these 24 elders are the 12 apostles and the 12 patriarchs. Some say that these are exalted angels who serve and worship God. And then a final view says that they are the redeemed of all the ages. And I would have a tendency to go with that last viewpoint. I could go with three of them. I'll accept. I definitely don't believe that these are exalted angels who serve and worship God. I do believe that the church is a part of this group. I do believe that the redeemed are a part of this group. So when we look at these 24 elders, I would say that these are people that have been redeemed by the blood of Christ. Now you ask, well, how could the Old Testament saints, since Christ hadn't come yet? Oh, but there was a Messiah who was prophesied back in Genesis chapter 3. He was preached about by the prophets. He was sang about by the psalmist. He was talked about by the proverbs. And so this Messiah was one who the Old Testament saints looked to. They realized that he was coming. And they put their faith and they put their trust in the fact that God was going to redeem them. And now we as believers, we look back at the cross and we see the redemption of Jesus. So when we ask the question, who are these 24 elders? I believe that they are the redeemed of all the ages. That the Old Testament saints, the New Testament saints, tribulation saints, all who have been in Christ, the 24 elders represent these individuals. But what are the golden crowns? What are the golden crowns? The golden crowns are not called, in the Greek, there's two words for crown. One is diadem, and that's a royal kingly crown. That is the crown that when Jesus comes back, that he's going to be wearing. That is the crown of kings. So you see, I put an X through that first crown. It's not a diadem, but it comes from the Greek word stephanos, which is a crown made in the form of a wreath. Worn, don't miss this now. Don't miss this now. Worn to signify victory, especially for victors in the Olympic Games. The crowns here represent the fact that these 24 elders had competed, were already judged, and rewarded based on their earthly life. That they received a crown based on the fact that they competed in the contest of life. That they ran this race called life. they were judged and they were rewarded, and now they take their crowns and they lay them at the master's. Are you going to? I like the song, I'm going to wear a crown. When that trumpet sounds, I'm going to wear a crown. As soon as my feet strike Zion, I'm going to lay down my heavy burden. I'm going to pick up my robe and crown in glory. I'm going to shout and tell the glad story. I'm going to wear a crown. Man, just think. And the crown is not going to be, you know, notice again, it's not one of them kingly crowns that you can put on your head and walk around heaven with your chest all puffed out, saying, look at me. I got a diadem on my head. I'm a king. I'm a ruler. It's not that kind of crown. But it's a crown. It's a laurel wreath that was plaited out of a tree. It's a golden crown that you get it and you put it on your head because you said that I've competed in the race of life. And I've not only competed in the race of life, but I've been judged. I've been rewarded. And Lord, here's what I have for you. Here's what I give to you. And I believe in some sense that we're all going to have a crown. I'm not sure. I'm going to make a case here that I think that some people will have a crown that might be more meaningful than other people. You know, as I said before, some people going to get to heaven based on the blood of Jesus Christ and that he died for your sins, and you're going to get there, oh Lordy, and some are going to get there, thank you Lordy, but I believe all will get there, praise the Lordy. And so I believe all of us are going to have a crown, but there's something, I hope I'm going to put my finger on it here in a second, but there's something about the crown that you get that's going to be distinctive, that's going to distinguish. Something about, watch this now, about your service. Something about how you serve the Lord. I'm going to show you that here in a second. The crown is a reward based on one's earthly life. Notice this, Jesus said, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. So persecuted they the prophets who were before you. In 1 Corinthians 3:14, if any man's work abide which he hath built upon, he shall receive a reward. And then in Revelation 22:12, Jesus says, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give to every man according to his work shall be. Saints, what you do down here matters. You know, people say, well, you know, I'm not so concerned about getting rewarded in heaven. I just love Jesus, and I just want to be there because I love Jesus. That's fine too. I want to be there because I love Jesus. But the man said that he was going to give me a reward. Now, why am I going to argue him out of?
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Going for the Gold in Eternity, Part 2. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Going for the Gold in Eternity, Part 2, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Going for the Gold in Eternity, Part 2. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Going for the Gold in Eternity, Part 2. Or call us at 877-831-5060. Keep in mind, the entire series, Going for the Gold, is made available by request. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to anchoredinjesus at or Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.